Today, we want to wrap up our sermon series on Jonah, running from God. We've talked over the last few weeks about ways that we've been able to identify and maybe understand some of the emotions that went through Jonah's life. We learned in week one that he was driven by fear. He was given an explicit command from God to go preach to the people of Nineveh, and he didn't want to. And so his fear kicked in, and he bought a ticket on a boat, and he was going to go to the farthest port that he could go to, Tarshish. So he was driven away, running from God because of his fear. And we talked about the fact that oftentimes when you run from God, you're going to find yourself in the midst of a storm. And that certainly happened to Jonah. All of the sailors started throwing cargo overboard. The storm had become so great. And finally, they threw Jonah overboard. And he was left floundering in the water. But God had a provision for him. And he sent a great fish that swallowed him and carted him right back to the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. And we learned that while he was in the belly of that great fish for 3 days and nights, he was overwhelmed by his guilt. And so he called on the name of the Lord, and he repented of his disobedience, and he pledged to do all of the things that God wanted him to do. And even though that was probably a very scary thing to be swallowed by the fish, it was actually God's provision to take him back on track. Last week we talked about Jonah did get dropped off on the beach by the great fish, but he had a serious trek of many miles to get to Nineveh. And when he did, he obeyed God and he preached to the people of Nineveh the shortest sermon in the Bible. In Hebrew, it's only 5 words, but he said, 40 days from now, this city's going to be destroyed. But he didn't do it because he cared about the people. He didn't do it because he wanted them to be saved. He was motivated by pride. And something happened that Jonah didn't expect. The people listened to his message, they believed it, and they repented. They put on sackcloth and they sat in ashes and they prayed to God that he would spare their lives. And we learned that God's mind was changed and his plans to destroy that great city were changed because of the people's repentance. And that takes us to our message today. I'd like to invite you today to open your Bibles with me to Jonah chapter 4. If you'd like to use a chair Bible, you'll find this on page 743. Jonah chapter 4, we're going to start in verses 1 to 3, but we will continue reading, so I encourage you to leave your Bibles open there. Jonah chapter 4, starting in verse 1. This change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry. So he complained about it to the Lord. Didn't I say before I left home you'd do this, Lord? That's why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you were a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. Just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive if what I've predicted will not happen. Whoa! He really did let loose on God, didn't he? So I want you to think about the progression of what we've seen so far. In chapter 1, Jonah runs from God. In chapter 2, Jonah runs to God. In chapter 3, Jonah preaches, and the people of Nineveh run to God. And in chapter 4, Jonah runs from God again. And this time he runs not in fear, but in anger. So, what was he so angry about? Well, Jonah's probably angry that the people of Nineveh were spared. He remembers these people as being evil. We've talked about this most every week. They were a vicious people, and they took away the kingdom of Israel. Jonah knew all about that. He didn't want them spared. He wanted them to get what they deserved, and now they weren't going to get it. So he's probably angry about that. He's probably also angry that what he prophesied won't come true. Remember, five-word sermon. In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. So why was that a problem? In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 20 to 22, look what Scripture says. Any prophet who falsely claims to speak in my name or who speaks in the name of another god must die. But you may wonder, how will we know whether or not a prophecy is from the Lord? If the prophet speaks in the Lord's name, but his prediction does not happen or come true, you will know the Lord did not give that message. That prophet is spoken without my authority and need not be feared. So Jonah's been preaching for 40 days that the city of Nineveh is going to be destroyed, and now God changes his mind. And what he said isn't going to be true, and now he may fear that he is going to be accused of being a false prophet because what you said didn't come to pass. But perhaps Jonah is angry that the Lord changed his mind. It says here in verse 2, didn't I say this before I left? We didn't read that in chapter 1, but here in chapter 4, we get a little more of the dialogue between Jonah and the Lord. And Jonah actually says to God, that's why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew you would do this. I knew you're merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry, filled with unfailing love, and you're eager to turn back from destroying the people. And I just laugh at verse 3. Just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than to go through this kind of humiliation. So how did Jonah know that God was such a merciful and compassionate God? I think because he was a student of Scripture. Jonah probably understood these things. Let me show you some of the things that probably came to his mind. This is in Exodus 33:19, when the Lord replies to Moses, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will call out my name, Yahweh, before you. For I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose. So that's probably one of the verses that came to Jonah's mind. He knew God could do it to anyone that he wanted, and Jonah didn't want him to do it to the Ninevites. In 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 9, for the Lord your God is gracious and merciful. If you return to him, he will not continue to turn his face from you. Psalm 86:15, but you, O Lord, are a God of compassion and mercy, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. Psalm 103:8, the Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. Psalm 145:8-9, the Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation. In Joel 2:13, don't tear your clothing in your grief, but tear your hearts instead. Return to the Lord your God, for he is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. So that's how Jonah knew this about God. He knew the Scriptures, and they said over and over and over again that God had these qualities of compassion and mercy, and he was very forgiving. Let's pick it up in verse 4. The Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry about this? Of course Jonah was angry, but God's not questioning whether he could be angry, but he says, should you be so angry? Is it right for you? This is an important question for us all to consider. God is basically saying, come on, Jonah, think about it. Does it really make sense for you to be so angry about this? I created these people, and they're my children too. If you remember the promise to Abraham when God called him out to follow him, he said, I will make you into a great nation so that ultimately all nations of the world will be blessed through you. So God sees all of the people, even the Ninevites, as his children. He says, I have a vested interest in them, so is it right for you to be so angry that they have listened to my voice and repented? Now, I don't know if you can relate to Jonah. Maybe you've been in a traffic jam recently and you've kind of wondered, why are all these people going the same place I am? Why can't they drive better? You know, why is this taking so long? And you get a little angry. Anybody relate to that? Or maybe you get tired of waiting in the line at the store and it just seems to take forever and ever. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but when I'm trying to check out at the grocery store, I look for the line that's the shortest or it looks like people have the least amount of things they're going to check out with. And so I get in that line that I think will take the least amount of time, and something always happens. There's a price check, or somebody's credit card doesn't work, and it always takes longer, and it just kind of bothers me that other people in other lines who had more products to buy, they get out the door before I do. You can get angry. Or maybe it has to do with kids' sports game. And sometimes the parents get upset when there's a bad call and they call out the referee. You didn't call that right, you know, and you kind of want to tell them, it's a game. This is for the children. Why is it right for you to be so angry? Or have you ever been to the doctor's office when you've set an appointment time and you wait and you wait and it's 30 minutes late, then it's an hour late, then it's an hour and a half late. And you wonder, hey, if you knew you were going to be this late, call me, send me a text. I've got stuff to do too. It's easy to point to Jonah and say, is it right for you to be so angry? But are we any different? We let things get to us too. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, the Apostle Paul writes these words, and don't sin by letting anger control you. See, that's the problem. When you let anger control you, you say things and do things that aren't right. And he says, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. In James chapter 1, verses 19 to 20, James says, you all must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get what? Angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. And so we all need to learn this important lesson. Sometimes we might need a parent, a spouse, or a friend to bring us back to reality and say these same words God is saying to Jonah. Is it right for you to be so angry? The reality is you may have a reason to be angry, but God's saying here you don't have a right to be angry. And that's certainly what is going on here with Jonah. So let's pick it up in verse 5. Then Jonah went out to the east side of the city and made a shelter to sit under as he waited to see what would happen to the city. And the Lord God arranged for a leafy plant to grow there, and soon it spread its broad leaves over Jonah's head, shading him from the sun. This eased his discomfort, and Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But God also arranged for a worm. The next morning at dawn, the worm ate through the stem of the plant so that it withered away. As the sun grew hot, God arranged for a scorching east wind to blow on Jonah. The sun beat down on his head until he grew faint and wished to die. Death is certainly better than living like this, he exclaimed. So this reluctant prophet did what God said. He went and preached this message. The city would be destroyed. God changes his mind. And now Jonah is so upset. And he just goes outside the city, sits on the hillside waiting to see what's going to happen. And he is so upset. He's been fueled by this anger. And so as he sits there, we see a very curious phrase in the scripture here. Says the Lord arranged. And if you think about it, the Lord has been arranging things all through the book of Jonah, right? He arranged for a powerful storm on the sea to follow Jonah until Jonah was thrown out of the boat. He arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah, to take him back to the shore. He arranged for that great fish to spit Jonah up on the beach. And now he arranges for a leafy plant to grow and to give Jonah some shade from the hot sun. But then God arranged something else. He arranged for a worm, a hungry worm, to come and kill that leafy plant overnight. And then God arranged for a scorching east wind to blow on Jonah. God's been arranging a lot of things. And he's been choreographing this whole thing to get Jonah's attention and to help him understand the heart of God. Jonah's not happy with any of it. And once again, it says he wants to die. Death would be better than this. Well, let's pick it up in verse 9. Then God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry because the plant died?" "Yes," Jonah retorted, "even angry enough to die." Then the Lord said, "You feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly and died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city?" Wow. Once again, we hear the heart of God in this. He says, "Jonah, you didn't plant that vine. You didn't water it. You didn't tend it. You didn't prune it. You didn't make it grow." God's saying, "That's not your plant. It's my plant. I created it. And I'll decide what happens to it." Nineveh is a big city with tens of thousands of people who are spiritually clueless. They haven't ever followed me. They may have heard about me, but they've never honored me. They are spiritually clueless. This is the city of blood, and these people need spiritual direction. They're in desperate need of a relationship with me. Jonah wanted to receive God's mercy when he rebelled against God, and he prayed for it from the belly of the great fish, and he received it. But check this out. Jonah did not want the people of Nineveh to receive God's mercy when they rebelled against God. Now, how is that fair? Should God be angry about that? Jonah wants mercy on his terms for himself, but not for other people? That's not right. So the people of Nineveh had this change of heart. We talked about their repentance. In their very act of repentance and contrition fueled Jonah's anger, because Jonah wasn't looking at the situation with the heart of God. Well, let's see what happens next in verse 12. Wait a minute. There is no verse 12. You mean the story's going to end like that? Well, what do you think happened? We have this amazing story in the Old Testament of the prophet Jonah. And all we tend to remember is, oh yeah, he was the guy that got swallowed by the great fish. And many of us leave it at that. But I kind of wonder, what happened to Jonah after this? Did he go back to Jerusalem? Did he run away to Tarshish? I wonder if after this talking to that God had with Jonah, and Jonah maybe thought about it, I kind of wonder if Jonah might have decided to stay in Nineveh with people who had repentant hearts. People who had now turned to the Lord, but they didn't have anyone else to teach them his ways. I kind of like to think that maybe the story turned out that way, although Scripture doesn't tell us. But it would kind of be like God, wouldn't it? Some of you may have seen or read or listened as I've shared some things, sometimes out of a paraphrase, a Bible paraphrase called The Message. was written by Eugene Peterson, and it was just a way to understand Scripture, maybe in a way that'll get you to think about things more. And in the Message Bible, I was reading in the introduction to the book of Jonah something I just thought was pretty phenomenal about why this book is included in Scripture. Because, you know, the only way we would get this account is if it came from Jonah, if he wrote it down. And I don't know how many of you in the course of your life have ever written your resume, but usually in our resumes, we only put the good stuff. We only put the accomplishments and achievements and the recognition we've received. But one of the things that I think is pretty amazing about Scripture is it doesn't hide the bad stuff. But Jonah would have been the only one that could have told about his prayer in the belly of the fish, you know. So I kind of think the story came from him. But I want you to see what Eugene Peterson wrote in the introduction to the book of Jonah that gives it a unique flavor. Check this out. Jonah is not a hero too high or mighty for us to identify with. He doesn't do anything great. Instead of being held up as an ideal to admire, we find Jonah is a companion in our own incompetence. I kind of like that thought. Jonah didn't get everything right. Jonah wasn't perfect. And if God could use somebody as imperfect as Jonah to turn the heart of an entire city that was spiritually clueless, you know what? I don't have to be perfect, and you don't have to be perfect for God to use us too. So today I want to ask, what about you? If you've been running from God and found yourself in the midst of a storm, what are the lessons we learn from Jonah? If you've been driven by fear, if you've been overwhelmed by guilt, if you've been motivated by pride, if you've been fueled by anger, you need to repent. First, you need a change of heart, which results in turning from living life your way to living life God's way. But then you need to prove by the way you live that you have repented. As I said, I can't help but think if all the people of Nineveh repented, maybe Jonah did too. Maybe we should too. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we thank you for this incredible story of this reluctant prophet. He knew exactly what you wanted him to do, but he didn't want to do it. And Jonah wasn't just tossed back and forth by the waves on the sea when you sent the storm. We've learned throughout this series that he had a lot of emotional waves hitting him. He was driven by his fear. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to preach to the people. And when you got his attention, when he was swallowed by the great fish, he was overwhelmed by guilt. He did come to his senses. He did call on you, and he was released from the great fish. And you told him again what you wanted him to do. And this time he did, but he didn't really do it out of a heart of caring for the people. He was motivated by his pride. And he delivered this fire and brimstone message that said that the people would be destroyed in 40 days. And they responded in a way he did not expect. They repented. They listened to the message of your prophet, and they believed it, and they turned their hearts towards you. And in this final chapter, we see that Jonah was ticked. He was fueled by his anger. We thank you for this lesson you gave him, this object lesson of the plant and the worm, and we're just fascinated by all of the things you arranged. And God, it's so easy to point our fingers at Jonah and say, well, you should have done this or you should have done that. But I love the way Eugene Peterson captured this. In Jonah, we see a companion to our own incompetence. Help us, Lord, not be so harsh in pointing the finger at Jonah, but help us use this as an opportunity to reflect on our own obedience, our repentance, and our willingness to do the things that you ask us to do. Help us as followers of Jesus to learn to do life his way. Help us, Father, to seek your ways that are much higher than our ways. Help us to learn the Jesus way and to live lives that are not only pleasing to you, but that plant flags and help other people see the Jesus way is better. We pray these things in His most precious name. Amen. Would you stand and let's sing our sermon response song?
If you're helpless, I will defend you. And if you're burdened, I'll share the weight. And if you're hopeless, then let me show you there's hope in the Jesus way. I follow Jesus, I follow Jesus. He won't. Choose the Jesus way.